Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of December, and the bull market continues. That sell-off at the end of last month on Monday, when we were down 83 points, reversed yesterday. We're up 71, and we're up again this morning. Well, we were up 28. We're down 18. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ have hit all-time highs overnight. And clearly, there's a little bit of profit-taking in some of the recovery sectors. The energy sector's at the back of the pack again. OPEC don't seem to be able to come to an agreement. They've delayed their meeting this week, trying to get some sort of consensus on tapering these production cuts. And that's not reading very well. The Saudi Arabian energy minister has threatened to resign from an OPEC panel. So clearly trying to keep the lid on oil production and struggling. So after a 25% jump in the oil price last month and a 23% rise in the energy sector last month? Understandably, a bit of profit taking. I will come to the energy sector a little bit later. Otherwise, lots of good news overnight on the vaccine front. Two vaccines are in front of the FDA for approval. There's a vaccine likely in the UK, could be the first to be approved, although Boris Johnson is saying it's still not going to be till Easter, until there is widespread distribution. But in the US, they're talking about vaccine doses being shipped within hours of approval and 40 million doses expected to be delivered in the US by the end of the year. On top of that news, there's antiviral treatments from Regeneron and Eli Lilly also on their way to approval. And all that leaves the news wires suggesting that the markets have underestimated the time frame for vaccine delivery. In other words, it's coming faster than expected. And because of that, they are underestimating the speed of the economic rebound to come. And helping that thinking today are two things in Australia. The first is the GDP number for the third quarter has come in at the better than expected 3.3% quarter on quarter, strongest quarterly growth since March 1976. I mean, we were expecting a bounce back, but it is better than the 2.5% expected. The year on year GDP number is -3.8%. which is better than the 6.4% contraction in the second quarter. An economist had expected -4.4%, so -3.8%, a bit better than expected. And that is thanks to the budget and monetary policy and a bounce in the jobs market. We've also today had Philip Lowe giving his semi-annual testimony to Parliament. And he's passed the predictable message that the board will continue to review the detail, but are prepared to do more if that is required. And to quote him, having said that, we are still of the view that a negative policy interest rate in Australia is extraordinarily unlikely, with any benefits being outweighed by the costs. And he talks about the economy turning a corner, recovery is underway, although it will be uneven and bumpy, to use his words. Anyway, all good stuff. Also today, the OECD, which is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is based in Paris, has updated its GDP forecasts and improved its Australian GDP forecast and is predicting a 3.2% rebound next year, which is up from 2.6% previously. So you can see what's going on here. All sorts of little elements, all helped by the vaccine expectations, of course, all sorts of little elements feeding in to a developing economic recovery. And that is certainly what we've invested for in the makeup of our growth portfolio at the moment, still holding lots of recovery sectors on the expectation that next year will see us gradually return to normal. And while some sectors have seen enormous benefit out of the pandemic, and can I just tell you, if you look at one of my kids' bank accounts, you will see that there is a pattern that has probably happened elsewhere, but being a 59-year-old, I'm just not interested in Afterpay or Buy Now Pay Later Zip Money, but the bank accounts of these kids is absolutely riddled with what I would consider a cancer, but is now probably just the norm of buying things and not having to pay for them straight away. They reject credit cards, but goodness, they are putting everything on Afterpay and spending more than they could afford. They're effectively putting themselves in debt. But this is clearly what's gone on economy-wide that buy now, pay later has fueled a spending boom, and I'm afraid at some point it's got to be repaid, which means as JobKeeper and JobSeeker comes off, that spending's going to fall over anyway. So despite some sectors having seen enormous benefit, particularly retail, particularly online and buy now, pay later, the real money is going to be made surely next year. Even though that change is permanent, surely going to be in the oversold recovery style sectors, not the sectors that benefited so much. So that's how we've positioned for the moment. Now, along those lines, and seeing as we've got a bit of stability, time to talk about other things. I've put in today a little article about the resources sector for beginners, which highlights a couple of things. One, the correlation that groups of stocks or particular resources stocks have with commodity prices. The correlation between Fortescue and the iron ore price, for instance, or the other chart in there is the energy sector and the oil price, is just so close. It makes stock picking in those sectors something that anybody could do. You don't have to be an analyst to pick stocks that benefit from the iron ore price or the gold price or metal prices or the oil price. They pick themselves because the correlations are so close to the underlying commodity prices. The commodity prices create the tide for groups of stocks. And really, if you want to make money, and in the resources sector, and this is the other point I make, you can make extraordinary gains and losses, but extraordinary gains in compressed periods of time, gains that you simply wouldn't be able to make out of grinding industrial stocks like banks or Woolworths or Telstra, or all the other big brand industrials that feature so highly in most portfolios. The resources sector is not, in my mind, you may think it is, and you may have some hindsight examples of owning BHP when it was priced in pounds and has gone up. You may have some examples, but in my mind, these are trading sectors, and the opportunity is to make significant returns in short periods of time, if you can get the timing right, which is the golden question, of course. Can you get the timing right? But if you can, then you'll see things like the iron ore price, the chart I've got in there, Fortescue, from the low point in 2018 to now, the iron ore price up 66%, but Fortescue's up 400%. Now, easy in hindsight, but the reality is that listed stocks in the resources sector provide leveraged exposure to commodity price trends. So if you can time the commodity prices, you can make significant superior or inferior market returns out of very easy to pick stocks if you can just get the commodity price right. And that really is what the resources sector is for. And some of those trends, they can be for years, which you might call an investment. That's fine. But this is long duration or even short duration trading, and resources provide you with a lot more bang for your buck than an ordinary industrial stock will do. So that brings me on to one opportunity which is absolutely staring us in the face at the moment, and I've put charts of them all in and shown you the performance of these stocks. But the energy sector is a seemingly obvious commodity-based opportunity to exploit in the next year for 2021. The tide is going to be driven by the oil price, created by the oil price, and even though in the short term OPEC are arguing about production, the reality is that we are in a cratered energy market, and in particular a cratered energy sector. And you don't need to be a genius to pick these stocks, but Woodside is still 32% below what it was worth in February. Santos 26%, Origin 35%, Worley's 13%. They've got an investor day today which has knocked the share price 3%. And Oil Search have 36% more shares on issue, but the value of the company is down 28% since February. So that's an opportunity. And when you talk about a 30% fall in Woodside, if it had fallen 33%, if you think about it, it's got to go up 50% to recover February's highs. These are big businesses. They are long, long-term assets. They are not going away, and it won't take much to drive them higher from these oversold prices. It will just take stability, if not a rise in the oil price. And as the vaccine arrives, economic growth returns, and that's the theme, sharp theme today. And as travel resumes, this could be a multi-decade low in the energy sector, certainly in the oil price. It got to minus $45, and an opportunity to exploit that is in front of us. So we have, and I put the growth portfolio in there, I put all the charts in of those five stocks, but we've now got a 12.5% weighting in those five stocks. We're now running $93 million, and 12.49% of it in the growth portfolio is in those five stocks. So that's one of our bets for 2021. I mean, there's no certainty. Things can change. I'm sure you're going to email me something negative about the oil price and how there's going to be other energy sources. I'm sure you're right, but the stock market's about probability, and the probability is that demand for energy is going to significantly increase in the next year. The sector is very unlikely to plumb the lows again against that backdrop, and as such, we see it as a good bet and a good recovery sector, whatever's happening in the short term. So anyway, you can see all that in the strategy piece today. But that's why we're holding energy, because compared to the popular stocks, the buy now, pay laters, the retailers that have converted to online, compared to them, there is value in energy stocks, which, as I say, are big long-term assets. This sector is not going away, and that would be one of the sectors to highlight for next year. Anyway, that's what we're doing. Subject to reassessment every morning, of course. Now, lastly, technical observations, a few buy signals around. There weren't many over the last 3 or 4 days, but quite a few in there now. Interesting bounce in dominoes, as you're aware, although I wrote about it the other day, brokers don't seem to like it. Bapcor, which had been a popular stock, has come off and got a very small little buy signal. Ansell got a buy signal. Newcrest, RSI buy signal. Can we buy gold yet? Certainly looking a bit better today. And Pushpay had a capital raising. Capital raisings often mark the bottom of share prices. The stock's come off from $2.20, got down to about $1.70 or so. Anyway, recovering after its capital raising. Another one is Super Retail. So some of those motor stocks, motor-related stocks with buy signals today. As for sell signals, I've put a list in, loads of them in there. Treasury Wine Estates, which we recently sold. Some energy stocks with sell signals, despite what I've said today. Woodside is on the list there. Short-term sell signal. And in travel sector, corporate travel with a sell signal. Anyway, a few in there. That's about that. Right, Henry is back today, and that means that I am taking a week off. Sorry about that. But first holiday, I think, since the pandemic. I will leave you in the hands of the excellent Marcus Today team. I imagine Henry will be penning my weekend missive. I will, of course, be checking in every morning with my colleagues just to check everything's hunky-dory in the portfolios. But apart from that, you have a fabulous week, and I will see you back here next Thursday.